Travel and work with the Orisha of Yoruba land. started off by telling you about Reggie Wilson, Mr. Hill, and my travels in the physical world.
So I started off by telling you about... So that's a piece called Introduction. That's not the whole thing. That's a big chunk of it. Also, kind of the reason I mentioned growing up in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a very segregated city, but the experimental schools that I went to as a magnet school was, they brought in everybody. So there were rich people, poor people, Jews, Protestants, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Koreans, everybody, and we were all good friends, and our parents talked to each other, and we went over to each other's houses, so we had tangible, actual experiences of people who were not like us, but still validated who we were. When I went to NYU, I was one of about three black folks in the dance department. That was a big, slightly traumatic shift for me, to realize that, you know, it didn't just happen to be black, and, you know, I'm black, and I know I grew up in the church, and you're Jewish and you go to synagogue and that's okay because we go, you know, it didn't affect the same kind of way. Okay, oh, this is Reggie that you've been talking about. Oh, okay, you didn't tell me he was black. See? little things that started to notice, and I wanted to find, as I'm getting these postmodern ideas and these postmodern structures and these postmodern experiments, wondering what that those experiments and those questions look like with black bodies, wondering what they look like in a different cultural context, because the cultural context of New York in the Village during the 60s and 70s was a specific culture, and it happened under really specific circumstances. So I wanted to know what some of those experiments would be when you take pedestrian gestural movement out of a culture where pedestrian gestural movement is a lot more loaded. The first place that I went to do research, I knew a lot of people who were trying to get to Africa or using Africa. And somehow, I don't know if it was just my gut or if it was just some of the influence that I'd learned about in anthropology, about not just being reflexive, but also being in that when you go into a place, you are changing the scenario that you are entering into, and just exchange systems of how can I also bring something so I'm not just stealing and taking, especially something where that has so much loaded context out of colonial Africa, out of colonial Caribbean. And what do I know about myself? What do I know about who I am? What do I know about what part of Africa had been passed on to me to add to their complexity of their experience? So I went back to Milwaukee and went to the church that I grew up in called Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church, and started collecting songs, doing kind of interviews, kind of field research, trying to talk to people to find out why those songs that I used to fall asleep to, what they were actually saying. They used to, the old people used to sing, the deacons would come forward and they would line out, "I love the Lord, he heard my cry," and the entire congregation would pick up in different cadences. Love Lord, he heard, and it would go on and on and I'd had some of the best sleep. And I didn't realize the value of it. So anyway, I was going back and asking, what were some of those songs about? What was, why were they always moaning? What was that about? And actually asked my aunt, and she gave me a really quick kind of response, was that the reason that you moan is so that the devil can't understand what you're saying. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And it was the link of, here was some kind of magical belief within a Christian context. Here was some kind of possibly African retention within a Christian context. So that really started my wheels to roll. I was like, okay, so maybe there's some things. And David White, the then executive director of DTW, came and said, oh yeah, we'll give you the money, no problem. And you should meet this woman who's our finance manager, who's from Trinidad, and she says she's a spiritual Baptist and she'll talk you through everything. So I met her and she's telling me, yes, I'm a spiritual Baptist. Because I'd only heard about them at a lecture that I'd gone to talking about the Orisha. And at the lecture, the woman, after I asked her, she's like, yes, they're the spiritual Baptist and they do this thing. And I said, oh my God, I have to go to Trinidad. So then I wrote the proposal, and David did what I just said he did. And then I met Anne-Marie, and Anne-Marie said, oh, well, maybe, you know, David had mentioned that you're interested in going to Trinidad and studying the spiritual Baptist, so maybe you can come to church with me here in Brooklyn to kind of, you know, get a clue. Maybe I can introduce you to some people that also have connections back in Trinidad, so when you go there, you're not just walking into a church. And I said, oh, well, you know, that's really okay. I think I can go on my own, find some churches. And I said, I grew up Baptist, and so I know what it's about. And she said, I think you should come to church with me. And I said, no, really. I got this okay. I've done my anthropological kind of coursework, and I can do the field research, and I grew up Baptist. She said, spiritual Baptist? I was like, no. She's like, well, I really think you should come to church with me. And so I went to church with her, and like, it changed my life. We went to church in Brooklyn, and we're walking down, you know, we parked deep in the heart of Brooklyn. We park and we get out and we get to what's supposed to be the church, and it's a little storefront. And I'm thinking, this is a church? And she's like, yeah. The doors open, smoke wafts out, and these two women are around the center pole breathing. And so I was like, okay, well, this is not Brooklyn anymore, Dorothy. And so I met at that church, I met Reverend Christopher, who was visiting that week, and I found out later that he was actually traveling back and forth a lot, and got to know him well, and traveled to Trinidad with him, traveled to Tobago with him. He would guest preach at a lot of churches, and so was able to start videotaping rehearsals because people knew that I was with him, and they didn't question whether it was research or for family or for Reverend Christopher. So, will this play? And the typical service of the spiritual Baptist will go on anywhere, like a short service is about 3 to 4 hours. Long services can go anywhere from 5 hours to all night to several days. The ministers, the males of the church actually pray on the high altar. And as you can see, the moaner is already symbolically starting to travel spiritually. This entire service is for her benefit, so people to minister to her as well as to assist her in the tools that she will need to travel spiritually. So they pray, they sing, they pray, they talk, they sing, they pray, they talk, they pray, they pray, they sing, the spirit comes, they talk. What else did I want to show you? If you can take the volume down just a little bit. So this was a long, slightly confusing piece. What you're witnessing in this little voodoo party is the going home celebration of one of the dancers from the burlesque house. So the first half of Black Burlesque Revisited took place in the burlesque house, and the dancers were kind of offered up to the audience as for sale, if you know what I mean. And because the place was supposed to take place in the Deep South, of course someone had to get lynched. So one of the dancers was lynched, and they took him upstairs to the church, which were the same people as the burlesque house, and they had his funeral, which was this interesting combination of Christianity, voodoo, neo-voodoo. And in the cast, we have an array of different types of performers, including traditional as well as postmodern contemporary dancers and vocalists. This one girl's mom, a voodoo priest, and the body of the dancer that had died in the first half is downstage. That's what all the bottles and kind of Congolese iconography would have been about.